How you doing?
Good. How you been, man?
Busy. Really busy, but super like loving life, loving what I'm doing. Like it's things are good, just really busy. How about you? Yeah.
It's been pretty much the same. We just launched season 3 yesterday.
Mm.
So it's been crazy trying to get all that together.
I bet. And that's something I mean, as much as we can, I want to hear a bit about like your last few years and kind of like what that progression's been like and what getting ready for a release is like, because I've never worked on a live game like that. That's like, you know, usually when it's done, either there's DLC that's coming, right? And it's, you know, a thing that like that, but not like this. So I'm curious to hear a little bit more of like just how that process goes.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I feel like at this point I've worked on like 3 different versions of a live service in like varying lengths.
Yeah. It's funny too, the crossover, because like when I was, you know, earlier in my career, console games didn't do this, right? So there was not, you know, big games didn't have live service stuff. So it wasn't until, you know, I guess with the 360 really that we started getting true, I guess it was the 360, maybe it was the Xbox One. We started getting like true live changes, you know, live.
Update. Yeah, there was, I'm trying to think of like an example of like an early live, because I remember PlayStation 3 had a bunch of early live service types, but like now that I think maybe MAG, that might have been a live service of sorts. If anybody remembers that, nobody remembers what MAG is, but
I don't think I do.
Oh man, it's like, I can't remember how much it was actually like Battlefield, but like essentially what it was is it was like 250. It was like a big multiplayer match, right? Like something like Battlefield with a lot of people, but it was ridiculous because it was like 250 or 300 players on map.
That's,
and I think you had 3 factions instead, and it was like, I think the matches would go on for hours.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. That's similar to the way I played Dark Age of Camelot back in the day with, you know, the 3 realms, and we'd have probably a roughly that many people out in the PvP areas together, and so that was always interesting.
True, yeah. I mean, I think I played it a little bit back then, but yeah, it was kind of crazy that to, you know, kind of standard almost nowadays to have something more like that, but back then it was like 300, because back then, I mean, like the biggest match you'd play was, you know, Battlefield was only like, what, 16 versus 16?
Yeah, it wasn't that big. Yeah. How far we've come.
Oh, Camaro made a good point. He said GTA came out on the 360 and PS3.
That's true. But it didn't have live content though, did it?
It did. Wait,
GTA Online was on there? I don't remember that being on the 360.
Yes, but the thing is, it came out in 2013, and I think the PS4 and Xbox One also came out that same year. So it was right there. So technically, it had a live service of sorts,
yeah,
right?
Because
it was supported for a couple years after that before they'd... Yeah.
Yeah, that totally counts. Yeah, that makes... It all started with the horse armor. Man, we all remember that Oblivion horse armor. That was like the first DLC I remember, right? I think that probably was maybe the first kind of, you know, DLC you could just pay for on the marketplace. And I think that horse was like $5. So I'm just like, man, that was not worth $5. It might have been more than that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what the first, like, you know, DLC or something like that. What do you call that? What's the word for that? Like a DLC cosmetic thing.
That's what I would call it.
Yeah, I'm like thinking like the first ones I remember were like kind of like early 2000s, like PS3. A lot of PS3 games had. I remember Little Big Planet was super big into that. Because, you know, there's like the original Fortnite of sorts. They had to have a skin from every piece of media.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And I had to buy them all. Because, you know, that was the gimmick back then. It was like $2.99 or like $1.99, you know, like a pocket change at the time.
That's true.
Waste all your cash on it.
Oh man, what a moneymaker though.
They got my money.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you're at that point, you're kind of creating what the market is, right? Like you're going to charge as much as you think you can get for it. and then people that will pay for it will, and then you'll have that first price drop, and then another group of people will come on board. Like, it's, that's just like how retail works too. You know, throw it out there and try and get the most you can out of it, and then eventually price adjust to what people will pay.
That's true, and just keep pushing it, see how much people... Nowadays, it's like crazy looking at it nowadays. Like, back then, you could get so much with, like, $5. Nowadays, it's like, you know, what is it, like a quarter of the price of the game or half the price of the game just for a single single skin. I'm like, ooh, you lost me.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been a big fan of just the cosmetic side of things. Like, I don't really seek that out, or I'll use it if I have it, you know, and if it comes with something, but... I don't know. It's not never been a thing that's really resonated with me.
Yeah, I think since I've gotten like older and I'm like, you know, I got my own place and stuff, and I'm like wiser with my money now. I'm like, like if it's a free game, usually I got like a limit. So if it's a free game, I'll never spend more than $60 on it. Like, maybe I'll get a cosmetic or two, but I'll never spend more than 60, because at that point that's what the game is worth. So I'll only put in. I'll usually only put in about that much. And most of the time, I don't even get past a 20. You get like that 120 from me at the beginning, and then I'm like, I got to stop. And they got to really sell me on it, too. Like, it's pretty rare for me to hop in and be like, I need it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, my philosophy, I try not to play many free-to-play games anymore because this is my philosophy. I play them, and if I play past like the first few hours, I'm probably going to play it for a while, and I'm going to play it a lot. And then that's when I start being like, okay, now I want to support the game. So I decide, like, I look for value first of all. So like, if they're like, hey, here's this 90% off this thing, and if I see that value is there for me, I'll buy that thing. But then I just kind of continue to do that, because I'm like, I'm playing the game, and you know, I'm enjoying it. I didn't pay anything for it yet, so I just kind of continually do it. There's some I've spent a lot of money on some of them, not like thousands of dollars or anything, but some like well above what I would pay for a game for sure.
What game do you think you probably spent the most money on, like a single title?
Marvel Strike Force.
Marvel Strike Force. Okay. Yeah.
I bet over the course of a year or two of playing that, I bet I spent, oh my gosh, do I even know? It was several hundred dollars, several hundred dollars.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. I don't even know how I was pulling this off back in the day either, because this is before. I don't even remember if I had a job back then, or if I was just spending my parents' money or whatever it was. But like, I remember. I don't know if anybody in the chat remembers PlayStation Home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why, but like back when that came out, everybody had it, and you had to spend, because it was like everything was. You know, it wasn't like you were spending a lot to get like a little bit. Like everything was so cheap.
Yeah,
like you're talking about 99 cents. They even had items that were like 25 cents, 50 cents. Like everything was so cheap. But even then, even with everything being so cheap, I spent hundreds of dollars probably on that game before it was shut down and everything.
Yeah, I can see it. And shut down. But that's the part that sucks, right? Like then the money is just gone at that point.
That's true. Man, that game was, I'll tell you what, though, that game was ahead of its time. Like, some of that stuff you'd get was, like, well worth, like, if you had a house in the game, or if you paid money for a TV or something, it was connected to your PlayStation itself. So, like, you could, if you had Netflix on the PlayStation, you could throw Netflix on your TV in your virtual house, and then invite your virtual friends over, and you could all sit down on the couch and watch whatever it was.
Huh. I didn't realize it was set up like that. I never really played it.
They had a full movie theater in like the plaza too that would play, maybe not stuff that was in the theater. Well, sometimes if it was like a, you know, Sony product, of course. And you could go to this virtual theater and like watch a movie. I don't know. It was ahead of its time.
It's like where the metaverse is trying to go, right? So I went back and listened to the end of our last chat, and we were
because I did not.
Dude, especially since it's been a few weeks, I was just like, I have no idea where we left off. And luckily at the end, I said, because you talked about that now you're essentially a leader on your team, and that your focus is a little bit more about, you know, not just you doing your work, but, you know, helping to enable others and that kind of thing. And then one of the last things you said was how you went from that Xbox to working on Halo, and how, you know, that kind of that dream and how that kind of came together. So I think we still got quite a bit to talk about.
Yeah. Like, I think I may have brushed on it before, but like, Halo was the first kind of game to make me start thinking about like doing game stuff. It started even before they put in Forge mode. Like, I used to watch the old mod videos on Halo 2,
mm-hmm.
early YouTube days.
Is that like Red versus Blue?
No. Well, I mean, I was watching Red versus Blue probably a little later.
Is it earlier than that?
Yeah, this is, I mean, Red versus Blue is out, of course, but I wasn't watching it
gotcha.
That much at the time. But anyways, in fact, it's funny enough, when I was watching Red versus Blue, when I first started watching Red versus Blue, it was still, I think, on their website. It wasn't even ported to YouTube yet.
Oh, wow.
I started watching these mod videos, people putting in all this crazy stuff in the game, and me and my friends would sit around and like, we're like, how cool would it be if we could do that? You know, I think we tried it before, but like nobody back then, especially where I was living, nobody had a gaming PC.
Oh man.
Like, at best, maybe you had that one friend that could play World of Warcraft on their computer at like 15 FPS, but that was as good as it was gonna get. Like, that's nobody really had the tools to do it. But then, you know, Halo 3 of course came out and they added Forge, which it wasn't everything that was in those mods, but it was like you were slapping objects down, you were making maps.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Is it shot time? Is that
it
what
is. I got two shots already redeemed, so I was going to get one ready here.
It's funny. I had to run to the store. I ran to the store real quick right before we started. I got off of work, ran to the store. I was like, you know, we got to do it right.
What do you get? So Captain Morgan, what? What is that?
This private stock. We've upgraded from last time.
All right. Right,
I think I was just doing the default last, but they're always having a deal on the private stock, so I was like, you know, let's go crazy. Excellent. I guess I got the little Call of Duty revive shot glass.
Nice. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Oh, and cheers over there.
Whoa.
Oh, that's smooth.
Woof. One down.
One down, right?
That's right.
We got four to go.
Well, one to go right now. We'll see. Who hits me with what?
Hey, remember, a shot for Jameson's a shot for me. I gotta match him 1-1.
That's right. That's right. We'll see how that goes.
But anyways, yeah, I'll be stumbling. I'll be stumbling out of here by the end, I'm sure. But it started with that. But then I kind of forgot about it for a while, like making games. And I tried to focus on other things. But like I still always, every time a game had like a creative mode of sorts, anything like that, I had to get in there. I had to make something stupid, and I just became that guy for a while. Like, I'd make these really crazy levels, and then we had to go play it.
Mm.
I would just go to my friend's house, you know, drag this thing with me, right? Or, you know, pull the hard drive off the... Before file share was, like, really working, you had to slap the hard drive off and throw it in their 360 to get the game going.
Dude, the fact that worked is awesome. Like, that's actually a really cool setup. You can just pull your hard drive off and slap it on someone else's. That's awesome.
I know. I think... After a while, we got smart and just decided you could buy the thumb drive, because back in the day, if you had 8 gigabytes, that was all you ever needed.
Yeah,
you'd be good to go forever. So eventually, we ended up doing the little thumb drive, so you could bring that over to your friend's house. But yeah, we'd play these crazy maps that I would make. But yeah, and I always wanted to. It was like the first company I probably ever wanted to like really work for was Bungie. Fast forward.
Well, what were you thinking you wanted to do? Did you want to do level design? Is that kind of what was on your mind?
Yes, but the thing is, at the time, I didn't even know I didn't know what the word for that was.
Mm.
Like, the concept of level designer just didn't exist in here yet. It was just, you know, I wanted to, you know, place stuff down. But yeah, I didn't even know what it was called for the longest time. Just like I said, there's no, in Alaska, there's just no game studios or anything remotely like that. Or at least there wasn't. There could be now, but at the time there was nothing like that. No indie studios, no, none of that. So like, all, it was just, you know, it was just whispers and rumors, you know, you just had to.
Yeah.
It's all speculation.
Yeah, no, that totally really makes sense. I tell people that have just started looking into game development in the last decade or so that we didn't have tools like this readily available. Like when I was, you know, especially when I was growing up, but like as I was starting to figure out what I was going to do, there was nothing like this. Like even when I worked at my first job, like we used LithTech, their engine, because it like came with No One Lives Forever, and we were working on something that was similar to that. And but you couldn't even like you couldn't go nowhere and just download for free the tools, you know, like it was rare that that kind of thing happened at all.
You had to make everything. Yeah, back then, you know, for the most part, you had to make everything yourself or hope that you could use like this engine for this one particular game.
You had to license it. You had to pay up front, right? And as someone who's just trying to get into it, that's not feasible at all, you know?
No. Yeah, I think like back then was like you had to kind of, if you were modding, you had to figure it out.
Yeah. You learned some special skills when you were modding back in the day.
I wish that I had like a computer back then so I could have done it. Because at one point, I think eventually I did end up getting Halo 2 for my computer. But like my computer was not, even Halo 2 was like struggling. I think at this point Halo 2 was like when I finally did pick it up for a computer, it was, the game was probably already like 5 years old at that point, and my computer was still struggling. It couldn't do it. Like the idea of a gaming PC just wasn't really it back then. But yeah, like I was saying, that was like the first company I wanted to work for. But fast forward, kind of. I don't remember. Did I talk about starting at Epic last time I was on?
I don't remember if we talked about that or not. Actually, I mean, honestly, just feel free to chat about whatever. It doesn't matter if we covered it before.
We'll zoom in anyways, right?
Bringing it all together.
So after I had graduated Full Sail, I was working for Full Sail for a while. That's when I got the job to do recruiting for them in North Carolina, but it was all part of my grand plan, and they knew that going in when they hired me originally too. I was like, I'll do this job for you and I'll do it like super well, but like once we finish this block of items we have here, you know where I need to go after this. So that's when I luckily Epic, they contacted me. I didn't even apply to that job. Somebody from Epic reached out to me, and that's when I started at Epic, and I did that for a year. That was awesome. That was the beginning, my intro to gaming and live service all at once.
Yeah, that's a lot at once for sure.
Oh man, yeah, but I think it's good because you get to learn everything super quick.
Yeah, well that's what you went to school to do, right? You learned how to learn, so you know that's. It's good. You know, it helps you out.
Yeah, and I thought it was, like, the perfect kind of job to go, like, from Full Sail straight to that, because it's, like, the same... I think it's, like, the same pace, because I think Fortnite seasons are, like, 90 days or something. Maybe it's less. I don't know. It feels like there was, like, never enough time.
But so it's just, like... It always feels like that, you know?
Well, exactly, right? But, yeah, I was just, like... It was always just a mad dash, and there was never like really downtime. It was just you were on to the next season before you could really breathe.
Mm.
You might have like a day where you're like, "Woo, we released the new season," but it's like, "Nope, get back in there, catch your breath."
Oh, so like is the in that kind of cycle? I assume your work on it isn't the same as the launch cycle, right? Like you're probably already on the next one when this one launches, right? Or at least close to it. Or is it like you start day after one launches and while that one's happening, you're building the next one? Like,
no, yeah, they had it like really close to the wire. You'd be working on that season basically right there until the end, and then you start on the next season.
Oh man.
Which is way different than like a lot of the other, so like the currently what I'm doing on Halo Infinite, I'd say it's more in the middle, but like, so I think that was probably the fastest paced job I had, and I think Bungie was probably the slowest pace because their stuff's kind of like an in between. But anyways, getting back to, you know, we're gonna tie it right in anyways. So yeah, I worked at Epic for a while, and then once my contract expired there, I ended up getting a job at I got a job at a streaming service, yep. Tubi. So I got that job at Tubi, which was cool. I actually did that whole interview and everything while I was in Vegas.
That's right.
On vacation.
That's right.
I don't know how I pulled that one off, but I did it. And I worked that job. And then right when it got to like the end, that was a really short contract. I think that was only like 2 months. But at, before I applied to that job, I had applied to, funny enough, in one of my old, I had an old Discord channel. It was all the people I graduated with from Full Sail. And then one day, you remember Devin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The one day Devin made a post in there. He said, Bungie is looking for people. Reach out to me if you're interested. And I was like, here it is. Here's my shot. Because, you know, like I said, I always wanted to work for Bungie.
Yeah.
And, I reached out to him. And 2 months later, it took a while. But, you know, 2 months later, I made it in.
Dude, that's a... that's not a small place, right? Like that's a big deal, you know, to work at a place like that.
Oh yeah, no, it was, and it was like a different, beast entirely. Because I feel like a lot of people don't give Fortnite the respect it deserves all the time, but like Destiny's a whole nother thing. Like Destiny fans, you know, they're super. They get, like, all of them got the tattoo or something, you know what I mean? They're all
they're super
passionate about it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the kind of people they hire there, too, so it ends up being this kind of cycle of, like, they're bringing fans in to work on it, and then the fans are doing fan stuff, and then they bring in more fans, and, like, it kind of turns into this very, like, a lot of the stuff, like, if you're not, like, in the know, it's kind of hard to, like, figure out. Mm. I remember when I started working on it, they were like, you know, you've played Destiny 2. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I played the heck out of Destiny 2. But, like, I didn't tell them that, like, the last time I'd played Destiny 2 was, like, 4 years prior.
Right.
So I get to the game, and I had no idea what was happening anymore. Like, yeah. It was an entirely different... I might as well have said I didn't work on it or didn't play it at all.
Yeah.
I was like... The campaign's gone. All my favorite planets are gone. I don't know what this gun does anymore. The intro's completely different. Like, I had to, like... I remember one day I, like, sat down. I had to watch, like, a six-hour lore video just to figure out what I missed. And I was like, how the heck did 6 hours of lore happen in 4 years? But...
Dude, that's, So, first of all, I would have recommended that you play the game currently a little bit before that interview.
So, like, you know, I think I knew enough in the interview to, like, get through the interview, but when I started the job, that's when the problems arose.
Yeah.
'Cause, like, I had started the job and realized what happened to Destiny. I was like, oh, this is not, I don't know what any of this stuff means anymore. It's crazy. Which, yeah, no, definitely play, like, an up-to-date version of the game before you do the interview, because I was totally lost. Which is fine. They were cool about it when I got there. I let them know. I was like... It's been 4 years. I was like, the campaign was still here, and so was Mars last time I played this game.
Yeah, I fired it up with the new expansion a couple nights ago for the first time, and it's just a very different game. Like I was looking at some of the mechanics. I'm like, it's all different. Like,
yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually, I didn't do a whole lot, but I did like a little bit of work. On the season that's just now releasing.
Mm.
And I was at Bungie a while ago just to show you how, like, kind of the time they take to, like, put out the products that they do.
Nice.
That's why I like to say it's kind of like a more of like an in between, like a regular game and a live service, because they, like, they take their time making these DLCs, because I think, and they're like super far ahead of everything. I think, like, when we started RC, I think the DLC was still, like, for those who don't know, that's, like, release candidate or release content, whatever they call it, that's, like, the build that's supposed to be shipped that you gotta test to make sure it's good. I think we did, it was, like, 2 months. 2 months before launch, it was, like, it was ready to go.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's impressive. It was, like, 2 months. They had it all figured out. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, usually that part's happening right up at the wire.
Yeah, I'm sure there was more that needed to be done up until the wire, but for the most part, it was, like, mostly, like, good to go. Like, we could play through the entire thing, no issues at all, and it was still, like, 2 months out before launch.
Nice. That's cool. That's a great spot to be in.
Yeah, and, like, they had, like, a lot of, that was the first time I got to, like, work with, like, a more, like, intimate team, I guess, because before when I was working at Epic, the QA is over here and the devs are over there, kind of, you know, there wasn't a lot of crossover, but at at Bungie, my whole entire team was like 10 people. I was on the Raids and Dungeons team, and it was like, there might have been a couple more than 10, but for the most part, it was about 10 people, right? Four of us were the testers.
Mm.
One of those people was like the test lead, and then the rest of the five people, that was your dev, your artist, your designer, and maybe there was an audio guy. I can't remember off the top of my head anymore. But yeah, that was the entire team was just that. So you actually got a lot of opportunities to play directly with the devs.
Oh, that's
great. You
can
play directly with the level designer, and he can show you what he's working on or what he's trying to go for over in this area.
That's an impressive level of integration, right? Like having everybody, like I'm used to having pods of development together, like pretty regularly, but having not only tests, but a test group that big, like fully immersed and right there. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it was pretty, the way they did it was pretty crazy. And it was like, I think the test team was like exactly enough people to do the raid. If the manager was in with us, we had like exactly enough people to do the raid. Otherwise we'd have to ask somebody from another team to come join us, or we'd have to ask one of the devs to come join us if we wanted to actually go through the whole thing. Cause I think it's six people per raid in Destiny. But yeah, like that was a really cool experience finally getting to like work with the devs, get to see what that's like, see their thought process along the way while we're testing it and they're working on it all at the same time.
Yeah, that's great. So how long were you there overall?
I wasn't even there that long. I think it was maybe 7 months I was at Bungie.
And was that, did you leave there because the contract ended?
Yeah, the contract ended. Yeah, that's why I left.
Gotcha. So did you go from there to the Tubi, or am I?
No. So I went from Epic to Tubi, and then I went from Tubi straight into Bungie. And actually, before I got to 343, I was at Xperis, whatever you want to call it. I was at another company. So right before my contract ended, because like at this point, like whatever was going to happen, I was going to be prepared for it no matter what. It's one thing you guys got to look out for out there, right? Like if your contract's getting in like the 1 month area and you haven't heard anything yet,
yeah,
start putting the feelers out, right? But I had a job already ready to go, I think 2 weeks before my contract expired. So I was ready for it, and I already had a new job lined up.
Nice.
And this was my first like in-person job since the pandemic.
Right, man, what a wild time. Which was man.
Exactly, but it was like, it was very weird because I think the office stuff was pretty recent when I had started, because the way everybody worked when I went to this tech company next, the way everybody worked there was like very, very much like they were in working from home.
Okay.
Oh, I see you getting one ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm getting one ready. We've got a second one redeemed.
I'll join you in the fight.
All right.
When you're ready for it.
You tell me. I was just pouring while you were talking.
You know what? We'll get it out of the way now. So this encourages people to get us another one.
Well, we got Shane in the chat saying he's gonna take shots too. So let's do it.
Shane, who? Who we got here?
Gaffney.
No way. What up, Shane? How you doing?
All right, you ready?
All right. Yeah, here we go.
Ah, so, second one's easier going down.
I think so. Wait, what are you drinking?
It's Jameson
today. You know, I always wanted to get Jameson just for the meme, just for the joke, and then I like went to the thing. I looked at the price tag. I was like, not on the salary.
A regular bottle of this is just the straight up stuff. Like it's not any of the special edition stuff. Now this one though, like I keep a bottle of something nice. This is from the Distiller Safe. There's a redemption on there. It's a High Point redemption for me to take a shot of that one, but this actually can count as a sixth shot. So if I get all five of the normal ones and someone hits me with that, it's a good evening.
Wow. Yeah, I was about to say, you're going to be crawling out of there.
Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't be the first time. I think the most I've had on stream was 7. I think I've had 7 on stream. And I don't remember the last half of that stream.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's one night in Orlando right there. I'd be getting dragged out by the back of my shirt like this, you know, wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, this tech company. And it was kind of funny, but kind of sad to see, the company was trying super hard to get people to do more, in-person related stuff, but it seemed like a lot of the people weren't into it. Like, you'd get to work, and, you know, we had our desks, they were all next to each other, and usually every team would be right next to each other, right? Except for when I first started, me and the other QA guy were off in this corner super far away. But I'd be sitting right next to this guy, Jameson, and he would send me a Teams message.
What?
I'm sitting right next to him. I remember the first time he did it, he sent me a Teams message, and I, turned my chair over, and I just looked at him. And then when he finally looked back at me, and I was like, why are you, we're right now, here, we can talk to each other, but all right.
to be fair, the nice thing about sending a message, even if you're right next to each other, is he potentially doesn't interrupt you, right? Like, if you're in the middle of something, and then, now what he could have said is like, hey, when you have a minute, can we chat, right? Like, that would probably be the that's what I would do if I was right next to someone,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, I get it though. Like, it's there's a really strange communication thing that has changed, right? Since we went to a lot of remote work, where we're much more, I think in order to succeed in an online work environment and in a remote environment, you have to not assume someone is available right when you need them, right? Like, all of your planning goes around like, hey, I need this thing. This is what I need to know first. Let me shoot that off first, so that person has time to get back to me as soon, you know, at the earliest convenience. So now I can focus on something else while I'm waiting for that. Long gone are the days of just walking to someone's desk and saying, hey, I need this thing.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. I guess maybe at the time I just wasn't expecting it, right? Because I was just I'd been working from home for so long. Because even before the pandemic, my job before that was a remote job.
Right.
When I was working for Full Sail, that was a remote job. So, yeah. I hadn't been in the office in, I don't even remember how long, right? Because I think that was 6-7 months before the pandemic. I was already working from home. But yeah, so I was just and it was, they had Beer Thursdays, right? It was a new experience. They had there was a lot that they really tried to do to get people to socialize and do more. They had these really nice break rooms.
Yeah.
The one specifically on our level and our floor, it was this big long couch that kind of winded around, and it had 4 TVs. And then in the corner, they had an entire arcade cabinet.
Nice.
I was talking to Brian one time. I'm like, we're going to get high lie on this thing. First day of work, I sent him a picture. I'm like, we're getting high lie on this. But yeah, they had 4 TVs. They had a Switch. They had an Xbox. The fridge was stocked full of snacks, drinks, everything you could ever want. It was all there. But still, it was just people kind of just did their thing and then went back to their desk. Even when we had Beer Thursday, it's the weirdest thing. You'd see it 70% of the office. You had to go all the way. It was on the, we were on the 4th floor. You had to go all the way to the first floor to get your beer and your pizza and everything. They would grab their beer, go straight back to their desk.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, this is an industry of introverts. So.
Yeah. Which is a lot of them, I didn't think they were at first. I was like, oh, we're not at a game studio anymore. Maybe things will be, but I guess that's what it was. Yeah, everybody was super introverted. They just didn't want to, everybody wanted to grab their beer, go back to their desk, quietly drink by themselves. I'm like, all right. And you know, it's funny though. The only people that would actually stay down in the area and drink, and socialize were the gamers. There was a handful of us that, and a lot of us came from, game studios and stuff. And it'd be the couple of us, you'd have the person with the fedora and the long hair and the rest of the boys or whatever it was, right? And we'd hang out down there and have fun.
That's the way to do it.
It was. And it was that was a cool little experience for a while. And I think a lot of, learned a lot of important skills that would be used later. Funny enough, the job I have now working on Halo, I didn't know it was Halo at first. So, like, funny enough, they, well, I guess it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. So, they had, you know, I was kind of looking for work and stuff, but I was still working this other job. And, you know, a recruiter had called me and everything and was telling me about this position. They didn't even say it was for Microsoft. They just said it was game testing and it was remote work. We went back and forth for a while, and then I told them no at first. Like,
why? What made you say no at first?
Well, as rude or whatever as it might sound, they just weren't paying what I was making at my current job.
It's not rude. That's a simple evaluation, right? Like that's just a life. Like, you know, not every. So, keeping in mind, sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure we think about that a little bit. Is that what someone tells you they're offering? One, maybe not be the most they can offer, right? They're going to offer an amount they think is worthwhile to get the job done, but it doesn't mean they're not also willing to negotiate, right? So if you're like, I want $2 more an hour than that or whatever it is, it's okay to ask for that. Just like it's okay for them to say, this is what we're offering, you know?
Yeah, which is what happened originally. I did like negotiate with them, but like once we got to the final price, it still wasn't quite what I was making at this other job. I was like, oh, I'm just going to stick with the job I have now and keep looking, right? So I told them no. And then I kid you not, the next day I got let go.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
The very next day I got let go. And it was like a, man, it was crazy because I went on vacation to Florida. I came back and I could tell things were just like off.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like, there was some issue, like the company, like we'd have these like meetings you could watch, and like I could tell that I went to this meeting and it was like things for the company weren't going good somehow. Unless like one, it wasn't even a full week, you know, it was like half a week I was gone, things just like turned to chaos, and I was like, oh, that's not good,
because you weren't there to fix all the problems.
I wasn't there to save them. And it was like a Hollywood type thing. Like they had like, I go to this meeting, and I was like, all right. And then, you know, I go to another meeting, and they're like, you're done. And I was like, well, hold on a minute now.
Yeah, that's a pretty common game industry way to handle it, actually.
This wasn't even a game industry job. This was like
you were in tech.
Yeah, which I thought tech jobs would be more secure than that, but I guess it wasn't, and like, it was like the most embarrassing thing too, because like there was like no context to it, and they had this HR person like hover right here the whole time, had to like follow me around the rest of the day, and like, so my desk, I had a big desk, Jameson. The desk was looking kind of like this. Like I had all these collectibles and stuff you're seeing. It was all on my desk because we had these really big desks. So I'm like, I'm just going to, like, nobody decorated their desk. So I was like, I'm going to do something else, right? I even asked for a corner desk so I could deck out the windowsill. Like, I had, like, it was just, like, collectibles everywhere. Like, my stuff was loaded up.
That's the way most of us do it in the industry. That's why I got all this stuff behind me, right? Like.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I had it looking like this, right? You know, I had the old Magic Mouse. That thing goes with me everywhere, right? But yeah, it was like full of all this stuff, and like they gave me a box, and I had to like pack. And then I had like a little filing cabinet next to me. It was loaded to the top with snacks, because every other day, like if I saw a snack I really like, I'd grab a couple extra. And I was like a squirrel, man. I had like the supply of snacks and everything. But yeah, I was like, he brought me this little box at first. I was like, we're gonna need a bigger box. And this was at like noon. This is the middle of the day, at noon.
It was a Friday though, right?
Like, no, what? No, it wasn't a Friday.
Oh, wow.
This is like a Wednesday at noon, middle of the day, and like this is before people went on lunch too. So everybody was still in the office. Like they could have waited until like right before lunch. People are gone. It's not such a big deal. But yeah, so in the middle of the day, while people are working, nobody knows what's going on. I'm just like packing up all of my stuff.
Now wait,
in the middle of the day,
was it just you, or was it a bunch of people, or do you know?
I see. This thing is, I don't know. I assume just because of the context of what was going on around the time, it probably was more than me, but maybe they dragged it out. I'm not sure how they handled it. But for that moment when I was packing it all up, it was just me.
Wow.
So like I had to pack up all the stuff in front of everybody, no context, because you know when I went down there, I didn't know what was gonna go down. And then like I walked over to like the one friend I did have at the office. I shook his hand and said, "This is it." Like you know something vague and just disappeared.
Right.
Yeah, and I had this massive like you know this massive box just full of nonsense. Right.
Did you take the snacks or did you leave the snacks?
Oh no, I took the snacks. Yeah, you know what I mean. Snacks. Like they were in my desk. I was, you know, I'm not gonna. Come on, those are my snacks at this point. I've taken them. This thing was like loaded to the top. There's popcorn and candy bars flying off of this thing and sodas and like, no. Funny enough, I made the. I was like, well, to avoid getting completely embarrassed, I made the HR guy carry my box of stuff.
Did you really?
Out. I handed it to him for a second. I was like, hey, can you hold this for a second? And I was like, all right, cool, let's go. I'm like, I don't want to be completely embarrassed here. So I had the HR guy, like, carry my stuff out. I told him thank you at the end. I was like, I just didn't want to look totally stupid walking out of there with this massive box that was twice my size.
Oh,
he was a pretty big HR guy, right? So he could handle it. But yeah, so like, and I'd already told the job at this job no. So then I'd like been a, then I was just like applying and like looking for work for like a month. Oh, is that Barley?
Yeah.
Man, that's
it's
a big
treat
dog.
Time. He is a big boy. It's like having a small horse in my house.
I bet, man. But eventually, out of nowhere, the recruiter that I had spoken to somehow didn't know that I had said no to the job because I told no to the company themselves.
Ah, okay.
Not the recruiter. So she called me. And was wondering how it went, and I was like, oh, you know, I told them no, but I'm looking for work. And somehow, by some miracle, they were able to, like, shuffle some things around, because somebody had already taken my position at that point. Which is funny, me and that guy are friends now.
Nice!
But somebody had already taken that position, so they had to basically make up a position to sneak me back in.
There you go. And
like
that's a good lesson, though, because that can happen. Right. And even and it's important to know, like, there's been at least twice in my career where I've become available and a studio has said, we will make something, right? Like we'll figure it out. You know, like they can either take a bigger position and bring it down, a lower one, bring it up. They can create one entirely. Like those opportunities are there if a person is the right fit. And not that they'll always do that. Like sometimes there's really nothing they can do. But the opportunity is there, so you should definitely pursue it. Even if, like, you see a position, it's like, that's way below my, you know, my skill level or whatever, or way above, it's worth talking to them because that stuff can shift if you can fill a role they need.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that hurt the most was, like, afterwards, like, I think it was, like, maybe a couple days after. No, I think it might have been, it was either the day of or a couple days after. So, like, for some people out there that may or may not know, my second favorite game ever is the original Modern Warfare 2.
Mm.
Like a big Infinity Ward guy, I guess, right?
That is the only truly great Call of Duty, in my opinion.
Thank you. Like, it's so broken that it's fixed, right? Like, if it's all broken, it's all fine, right? I had a blast with that game. I just, like, you watch these videos on it, and they, like, these people are breaking it down, like, on how, like, every single weapon in the game is viable on every single map. Like, the meticulousness is insane. Even, like, people don't even remember the DLC map. The DLC maps were crazy, too. But anyways, so, like, Infinity Ward had called me, like, a couple days later, and were, like, offering me this position. Like, it all sounded good. And then we get to the end, but then they really wanted me to move out to LA.
Of course.
And I was just like,
So wait, let's talk about that. Let's talk through that thought process, because we're in an interesting time right now, right? Where we don't have to move. Like, there are opportunities to be wherever you want to be potentially. Right. And that's what worked out for me. That's why I'm still in Orlando for now. But
for now,
yeah, this place is becoming interesting. But
I can only imagine.
But you know, it's different than the way it used to be, because, like, you know, even, you know, 3-5 years ago, you assumed you were going to go wherever a studio was, and
yeah,
there's a lot of, you know, a lot of companies still want to operate that way. They were successful in an in-studio environment. That's the way they want to continue to build their games. It's totally understandable. But your choices are more flexible now, right? And so I'm curious about this thought process, because, you know, going to work at Infinity Ward is not a small thing, right? It's another one of those big companies that a lot of people, you know, dream of, you know, like that's the place they want to be. So
yeah,
what
was
it
a dream for
you?
So
let's talk about that. Like if it was a dream for you, what was your thought process overall?
Yeah, no, like I said, like Infinity Ward is one of those, it's one of those dream companies that I've always wanted to work for. But like at the end of the day, I realized that it's just like, I saw what they were going to pay, and I saw where their office was located. And I was like, do people usually like live close to the office? And like, their office is like down the street from where the Kardashians live. I was like, there's no way. There's like, you know, it's like, it was like in their office, like in between like two of the most expensive neighborhoods out there. It's like Beverly Hills on this side, Calabasas is over here, and then like Infinity Ward's like right in the middle. And I was just like, there's no way for what they're paying me, I would be able to have like a comfortable life.
Right.
And like that's kind of one of the things I'm like looking for now. Like I got to be able to like, as cool as it would be to work for Infinity Ward, you know, like, and also, you know, I'm not just thinking for myself now, you know what I mean? Like, I gotta do what's best for Angelique as well. I got the dogs now.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta do what makes sense. And like, LA, like, you know, when I was younger, you know, like living in Alaska stuff, LA was always the dream for like a lot of us. We're like, oh yeah, because like, you know, my sister lived out there. It was like my second home going out there. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I get older and I'm like, I can't. Like the last time I went to LA, I was like, nope, this is it. I'm done. I'm not coming back. It was like, I think it was like kind of mostly pandemic, kind of not pandemic, was when like the last time I went. But I went there and I was just like looking around. It was like the pandemic, you know, it was at that perfect point where you could actually kind of drive across town with minimal traffic,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you got to see LA, what it would be like if you pulled like the traffic and some of the smog, if you moved some of the smog away, pulled some of the traffic out, and like what you're left with ultimately was still not for me. And I was like, well, if I can't get down with it with all this stuff out of the way, I don't think I can get down with it anymore.
It's man, a few things here. First of all, your thought process about it just in general was the same way that mine went. LA is one of the first places I went to work. So yeah. Early in my career, I'm single. I can have roommates if I need to. Like, I'm just trying to build my career. LA is a great place for that. But then as soon as family thoughts happened, I was like, I don't want to be around this right now. It's too expensive. Like the kind of life I want is not here. So that's when I moved to Volition and moved to a much cheaper place to live. But
exactly.
But now it's back on the table, right? Like anywhere is on the table now, because like I'm past the, I need to be in a place for family. Now it's more of like the world's my oyster, right? Like if there's a good opportunity wherever, you know, physically, that's cool. And when you work for a company that has remote, I could potentially live in a lot of places, you know? So it's, you know, there's a lot of, it's very different now than it was then, but the thought process I think is still the same as far as your life cycle, right? And like where you want to be for what's important to you.
Exactly. And like, I had asked the person like a bunch of like kind of questions about like, you know, like what do things cost in like that particular area, right? Because I'm like I'm vaguely aware, but most of the time I'm in LA, I'm in like South LA usually,
yeah,
and this is like North LA Hollywood area, and I'm like, I don't I'm like, even though it's the same city, that doesn't mean it's the same price. You go up a little further and things get wild up there.
LA is huge, right? And not only that, but like it's so different across the different parts of it.
I don't think people realize how big it is. Because like when I went there, I drove from one side of town to the other side of town with zero traffic. It still took an hour.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, your best case scenario.
With no traffic, it's like, it's still, and that's not even like the full length. You know what I mean? That's like, you're going from like Long Beach area over to like the Hollywood area. That's like an hour. I'm like, yeah. This is ridiculous. It's too vast.
When I go out to LA, I've got several friends there and I'll send out the message. And some of them are like, I'd love to come out, but you're literally 2 hours away from me. Like, I couldn't get there in any reasonable amount of time.
And it's it's 2 hours away, but you're both still in Los Angeles.
Right, exactly.
So like, what does that mean?
It's wild. I had, I may have told you this before, but when I lived there the first time, I lived in Sherman Oaks and I worked in Santa Monica. So I had the worst commute possible. It took me 2 hours to go 12 miles every morning. And it was absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Now, if I left work at like 7 p.m., I could get home in 30 minutes. But no, during the day, like any time that was a normal human being time to travel to or from work, it was 2 hours.
I can't even imagine, man. Like, I like when I did have this one in-person job, it was funny enough. It was only like 10 minutes down the street from my house. But if it took me 20 minutes to get home, I was angry.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that long, but I just, it came to me at that point that I was like, man, I've been working from home for so long. I don't even remember what it's like on the outside.
Man.
God forbid if I had a job that was 30 minutes or an hour away. I'm like, I don't know what I would do.
I am now so comfortable working at home and so much more productive that like going to an office would literally reduce my efficiency by at least 20%, at least. And so
I'm thinking, you would think you get to the office and you're like, oh, you're in the office, you know, but I'm like, I get just as, I'm like more just people are like right here. You know what I mean? They're talking over there. You got to jump in on the conversation because it's about something you care about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's too many when you're here. You know, you can just be here.
Yeah.
Even if you are distracted, it's like a second, then you're back at it.
Yeah, and I've got lots of things to help me refocus. Right. With ADHD, it can be difficult sometimes to kind of regroup and kind of refocus on something. But when I'm comfortable, it's better. Right. And when I can like step away for a minute and play with my dog for a few minutes, those kind of things, that makes it real easy to kind of like regroup and get back to the thing that I need to be doing.
Exactly.
Marley, you're getting another treat, buddy.
Come here. Oh, another treat for Marley, get another one, man. Hey.
Good boy. Good horse. Good horse.
Good horse. There it is. But where was I? Anyways, eventually, like I told the lady, I'm still on the market. I'm still looking for it. And then we went back and forth for a little bit. You know, funny enough, when they did hit me back, they did actually increase, even though they said like that was the highest they could go. They actually did increase my pay one more time before I finally got the job.
Nice.
And then she had mentioned like it was just a code name. Right, she didn't tell me what I was working on. All I got was a code name, and I think I had read somewhere that like Microsoft could be involved. But the thing was, I watched a lot of YouTube, so I already knew what that code name meant.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew it was going to be Halo.
Wait, you knew you didn't know during the negotiation. You found out at the end, right? Or no?
Yeah, I found out like later.
Yeah,
after the negotiation, once like, you know, the negotiation's all done, we're talking about like specifics of like starting the job, and she like had mentioned like this is your lead, you're working on this project, and like, you know, just had like an arbitrary whatever name, right? It the name had nothing to do with Halo whatsoever.
Right.
But you know, I watch a lot of YouTube speculation videos, and I happen to know that that name aligned with something that was Halo related. So, like, I had a feeling at that point. I was like, maybe this is it.
Yeah.
Maybe this is Halo. And then I think I didn't, because they always referred to it by the code name.
That's a pretty common practice, right? Like most games do that. And usually, I mean, it's best to use something that's completely ambiguous, you know, like, you like still, no one can connect it.
Do you test, do you got to test the game on an Orbis or what?
On an Orbis? Why do, what is
that? Does that mean, or a Durango, you probably wouldn't, you wouldn't use Durango at where you're at. Orbis. No. It's just the dev name for a PS4. The PS4 has been out for a long time.
Oh, so you can say Sorry. Orbis. Yeah. Got it's, you. Yeah, just like, that sounds familiar. What are we talking about?
They had one for the PS5 too.
All of them had, so many, right? Like, they've all had. Yeah. Like, was it the GameCube that was called the Dolphin for a long time? Like is it being developed?
I think so. And like these consoles have been out for like 6-7 years at this point. They're still referring to it like by this code name. Even when you're working, I'm like, oh, can you test this on the Durango? And I'm right.
Well, that's
for
what
the
developers
time,
have been
like,
calling
what the heck is? What the heck is a Durango? Xbox has been out longer than most of you've been at the studio.
Yeah.
Like, but then we made it. We made it to the promised land. Yeah. I was officially working on the game, on the game here that had started it all. I was working on Halo.
Let's put a timeline here. When did you first? What year did you first start playing Halo? And when did it become a love for you?
I think so. The thing was, I wasn't an Xbox guy growing up. Mm-hmm. So the first time I had ever played Halo was at my friend Seth's house. It was Halo 2. I think it was 06. 06 was the first time. Like, so I was a little late to the party because Halo had been around for a couple years at that point.
Still,
and
06?
In fact, the first time.
I mean,
yeah,
you're talking
I said
like 15
06.
Years, 15, 16 years now? Like, that's
man,
a big...
How long ago was 06? We're getting close. 06 is almost... well, hey, Halo 2 is almost 20 years old, right?
Yeah, in 3 years, it'll be 20 years, right? So, I mean, that's dude,
I'm catching up to you, man. I'm going to start getting these gray mustache hairs in pretty soon.
Don't be a dick. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, I broke rule number one.
No, I broke rule number one. Totally missed it. You know what? I actually like the gray in my beard. So
the gray looks good on you, though, man. Like, I like that. I need to get, like, once, I feel like once I get to that point, I'm just going to dye all my stuff, like, white. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to be that guy.
Steve Martin. He's going, like, straight up silver, like, all the time.
I think, once I'm, like, I've agreed. Once I hit about 64, it doesn't even matter. It's just, it's all getting dyed white. And I'm just going to be like, I'm just going to be old man Mosby at that point. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell these kids the days about the golden age of gaming and back in my day.
I love it. See, I think in those situations, you have to have the opportunity of, like, I think about somebody that has a big beard and then they want to eventually shave the beard. It's like, you've got an opportunity here for a sequence of changes, right? Like, you can do the mutton chops, and then you can do, like, you know, like, you can just, like, go through these different iterations. So you should start thinking about, like, which, like, you got to go, like, you know, shave down to a mohawk once, and, like, you know, like, all kinds of cool stuff.
You can't really see it right now, but that's what's going on right now. But my hair is all because I had it. Cause I don't know, I keep messing around my hair just to see how far I can get away with it. But I think when I was at Full Sail, it was short, and then right when I graduated, I grew it out as long as I could, and I think I had it about down to here.
Man.
And it was just like long curly hair, and then I'd shaved it all off, and I tried to grow it out again. Then I tried doing dreads, but the people that did it completely messed it up.
Oh.
Which was it sucked because it was expensive, and they like totally messed it up. Like it had been 4 months. Since I had dreads, and Angelique was able to brush them out.
Whoa. Yeah, that's not ideal.
And it only took her 2 hours. 2 hours, all the dreads were gone.
Oh, no. Well, and I mean, on the bright side, at least you were able to remedy it in 2 hours, right?
Exactly. Yeah, she, like, thank God for her. But, yeah, she was able to get it out in, like, 2 hours. But, yeah, and then I just started growing it out again. I was like, I need to do something with this. So I just went to the barber, shaved the sides down, turned it into a mohawk of sorts. But it's kind of, my hair gets kind of wild at the end of the day.
So, I don't have that problem anymore. So
I know. I need to get like you and just.
You should try it once. See what you look like.
You know, it's funny. I had it back in, it was probably 2016 or something. I cut it super short, like this short on top. But the thing is, like, I realized that my hair color, when you get it down that low, is weird.
Okay.
It's not like this color on the sides. It's like a weird, like, it's like that Obama kind of gray brown color.
Do
like,
it, man.
No, there's no gray hair, but like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like his hair's got like, yeah. It's like if you took brown, then you kind of sucked most of the color out and you have this kind of faded, like on top. I'll have to send you a picture. This is a picture of me. I think it's like, I'm wearing the Spider-Man costume and like my hair is just like, it's like all the way shaved down. Cause I'm like, try it once. We're just going to shave it all the way down. It was funny enough. That was like, I think maybe a month before I started Full Sail, actually. It was like, it was all the way shaved, but it had grown out enough by the time I had started class.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't know. I did a lot of crazy things. I keep forgetting to send you that picture of me with the dreadlocks from high school. That was a wild time.
You definitely need to send that. Yeah.
All right. I don't even remember.
Well,
where we,
last we were talking about was you saying no to Infinity Ward, showing up and now finding out, so you said no to the job. You got the job anyway. Now what? So now you find out you're going to work on Halo.
Oh yeah. So like, yeah, now I find out I'm going to work on Halo. I still wasn't like 100% sure what the role exactly entailed. So when I first started, it was like a wild ride when I started to like where I am now. I was on a completely different team when I had first started, and I had, I think I had like maybe four, I think I had four other leads with me at the time. Maybe it was five or four other leads with me at the time. So it was like, you know, they were kind of showing me the ropes because there was kind of time for that. And then when I got moved to the next team, it was me and there was one other lead, and he was still new to that particular team. So we were kind of learning off each other a little bit. And he was like a dev type. So like, I was like, well, if he's really good at the back end stuff, I need to figure out where I fit in. Mm-hmm. So like, I decided to focus on the testers themselves, like. Because at that point, he hadn't really built, like, a strong relationship with the testers he was working with. Like, he would just kind of assign them work, and that was it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, I decided to focus on, like, spending more time with the testers, like, getting in the game with them if I had time. Kind of, like, getting to know them. Like, I started doing meetings to just get to know people, kind of like that. I was like, well,
build them relationships, yeah.
Because at that point, I wasn't really good at all the back-end stuff, so I'm like, I gotta figure out where I need to go. So I decided to focus on that. And then it like got to like winter break, and then like they had moved him off of my team, but at this time I thought they told him. I was like, oh, he already knows they're moving him off. He was on break. I was the only person that, because I usually go back home for winter break, but I couldn't afford it this year, so I just stayed and worked. It was only me and like a handful of other people that were working during that time, and like everything got shuffled around while everybody was gone.
Real quick, I want to back up just a little bit. So this is, what's the name of the company you're working for?
It's called Experis. It's like a outsource type of company.
Right.
They work for 343, and you know, 343 works for Microsoft.
Right. Right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And so I want to make sure people understand that, because like you can work on huge games by working on companies that, you know, are contributing to that game, right? Like you don't have to necessarily work at 343 to work on Halo. Like this is an example where, you know, you're working for a company that is contracted to work with. Sometimes it's an owned company, sometimes it's a contract, you know, like, or between companies, you know, that kind of thing. But you're basically working on that title, but you're not technically a 343 employee, and that's okay. This happens a lot in the industry. Like, I just want to make sure people understand kind of what that flow can look like.
Yeah, no, exactly. So like, and it's kind of like a different experience, because it's like, sometimes you're that only person that's like communicating between the studio and the, well, I guess, you know, 343 would be the partner in my case, since I work for this studio, but, you know, for them, I'm the partner. But sometimes you got to be that person, you got to be that communication between the two.
Yeah.
Which was another, that was one of the things they, like, didn't tell me at first, that, like, sometimes I would get knowledge and realize I'm the only person at my company with this knowledge.
Yeah.
And like, what do you, I mean, we touched on this a little bit, you know, but like, what do you do with that? You know?
Yeah. That can be a tough spot, right? Where, because you're building relationships with both, right? You're building relationships with the people you're working with at the other company, right? And you want to foster that and make that better. Then you also have the people you're around every day, right? And you've got to kind of figure out what are the right things. What should I be telling people? What should I keep confidential? Like, that stuff can be interesting.
Exactly. And then at some point over the break, so we have like, there's the role I'm in, but there's also like a kind of like a secret, maybe not secret, but like a secondary role that can kind of be attached to that. If you end up being the only person or the subject matter expert on that particular area, you become what's called an area owner.
Mm-hmm.
So like over the course of that break, I became the area owner, and there was so much that I had not learned from this guy yet. There was so much more that I needed to know. But at this point, he got moved to another team. I became the area owner and only lead for this team. And then my team started shrinking. So I had to shuffle to like get people from other teams back to my team.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like it was a crazy transitionary period. Cause at first I was kind of, you know, like, I feel like I was riding the wave and kind of like trying to, you know, learn, and like out of nowhere, it just, you know, sometimes it just hits you just like that. And yeah. It was time to get to work. So like it took me, it wasn't until like recently that I had to sit back and be like, wow, I'm actually doing it, you know, working on, cause you get so caught up in it, you can't even remember what you're doing anymore.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the season launch where I was like, oh man, I'm working on Halo. Cause this is the first game I've worked on that my friends actually play.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Right? Because yeah. My friends, they didn't really play Fortnite. We played Destiny a little bit back in the day, but like they didn't play it like religiously or nothing. But like, all of us grew up on Halo, and like all of them play it. So it's really cool to work on something that like everybody can appreciate. Everybody like plays. They enjoy it.
Yeah, and then playing with them must be super cool, right? Like something that you've worked on, and then like running through it with other people. Have you done much of that yet?
No, I'm gonna do it tonight though.
Nice.
Cause I forgot to send it out the other day. So like, I just sent the message in, cause they don't really they play it, but they don't keep up with it all that often. So I just sent the message in that like the season I worked on just came out. We can all go play it. And then yeah, a bunch of them messaged me, of course. And like, all right, let's do it. Let's hop on.
Nice.
So like tonight I'm gonna be playing on it. Getting to see all my hard work come to life.
Nice. That's great. When did you join the company?
September.
Okay. So this is still pretty new, right? Like you're still kind of in a lot of ways, probably still getting your feet wet and understanding relationships and figuring out what your place is.
No. And it's like every day it's kind of like new. There's more stuff that I'm finding out that I didn't know. Like recently I had pitched the idea of bringing in another team, had kind of run low on like stuff to do, so I was like, well, why don't we just bring them on to our team, let's just merge the teams together, which was cool. And now I have another lead that's helping me out, because we're kind of like on the same level. Mm-hmm. Except for this person's been at the company a very long time but hasn't been a lead that long, whereas I haven't been a lead that long or at the company that long,
right?
Because a lot of the people I'm working with, a lot of the testers, like they've been on the project for like 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I'm coming into it. All I got is like the outside knowledge on Halo.
Yeah.
Like I didn't work on it. Like these people were working on it before launch. And then also, like, it turns out, like, I didn't even know that I'm a lot younger than a lot of the people that I'm like responsible for as well.
Yeah.
Which is another kind of like wild experience. Like, I'm not the youngest, but I'm one of the younger leads out of the group of leads.
You know what's interesting? The longer I'm in the industry, the less that has ever come up. Like, I can't remember the last time that that I've heard anyone mention, or I've thought of like, oh, that person is too young to be my lead, or, you know, anything like that. Like, because the truth is, you can be really good at this industry and be really young, right? Like that is absolutely possible, especially with like the amount of education that's available. And like, people can come into this industry like ready to go. And that's great. A lot of us people that have been in for a while, like ours is more of like, here's what I've learned over the last 20 years. Here's why I can do something a little more efficiently. Here's why I can come up with a better solution potentially, because I've seen this before. I've been through this in a few different ways. So like the type of value is sometimes different, but both are super valuable. And so all that to say, the good news is I don't think that age really matters that much in this industry anymore.
Yeah. Maybe it's just more of like me that's like thinking about it like that. Like every time I figure out like if they're like older than me or whatever, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like, sometimes I feel bad for them. Cause I'm like, but I guess maybe I'm not thinking about it like you, that a lot of people they don't even care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just feel weird about it.
Like, yeah, see, all. Like I'm over here thinking about it because I'm feeling weird about it because I'm like, you know, 5-7 years younger than these people. But you know, like they're cool with it, then I'm cool with it. I'm gonna try to be cool with them. So,
I mean, ultimately, there's nothing to worry about unless there becomes an issue, right? You know, and if it does, and it's something like I could totally, there's definitely situations where you're like, this person is less experienced than me. They should not be leading me. So you either fix it or you mentor, right? Like you can mentor up too, right? Like you can help that person succeed in their job by helping them understand the things they need to know about the people that are reporting to them. So like there's always opportunities in every direction.
Which is like, yeah, that's the approach I like to take a lot of the time. I'm trying to like learn all that I can from my testers. Cause like sometimes like, because I don't actually get in and test the game all that often, like, yeah, I'm an area expert or, you know,
area owner,
but like that, yeah, an area owner, but that doesn't necessarily mean I know everything there is to know. Like they might know a lot more about the area than I do, because like I'm so busy like responding to messages and like making cases and all this stuff that like a lot of the time I'm not there with them.
Yeah.
On the ground testing with, which is what I'm trying to do a lot more of now. I'm trying to get in there with them so I can have like a better understanding, because like it was like I was so busy trying to get everything all figured out that I didn't take time to do that. But now I'm trying to do that and get better about it.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And it's like no matter what, whatever situation you're put in, especially if you're, I think it's important to remember, if you are the owner of something, if you're responsible for something, that does not mean that you have to have all the answers. As a matter of fact, I think it's the opposite. Like if I'm responsible for a team, a group of people, or a group of content that a bunch of people are working on, like I want to know what the experts that are working on that content think. So we're going to talk about, here's our objective. I'm going to make sure our objective is handled, right? Whether that means I'm in there doing something, you're in there doing something, we collaborate on what needs to get done, like whatever that is, the right people are around you. Like it doesn't have to always fall on you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like I guess sometimes it can feel like that, but you can't let it get to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like one of the things. Like I gotta realize that like everybody, because it's like I get people from all, once you become the area owner, even if you're QA area owner, like you get people from all over the company thinking that you're that guy. So I get devs and all types of people asking me like specific questions. But the thing is, as long as I know who knows the answer,
yeah, yep,
I can get them what they need. Dude. Which is what I had to realize lately. I was like, I don't have all the answers. I just need to know who has them.
Do you literally described the thing that I think is my biggest strength in the industry. Like it, the thing that I reach out to is I start making connections, figuring out who knows what. And so then as soon as a question comes up, I can be like, I know who to talk to, whether that means I need to talk to them or I need to send someone else to talk to them. That information is super valuable.
Exactly. And I'm like, that's how I'm collecting more and more knowledge, trying to, trying to piece it all together. So like, I know exactly where to send people if they come to me with questions, so I can be quick about it and be like, you can go here, you can go there. But yeah, no, I didn't even get to talk about, it wasn't really I thought it was like the season three thing, but then I remembered right before like the season three stuff came out for this game, I went to Halo does these, or, you know, 343, whatever you want to call it. They do these events called HCS.
Okay. It's
like the Halo Championship Series.
Series, yeah, yeah.
Competitive series. I don't know what the exact words are for it. But, like, I knew it was coming up, and I saw that it was going to be in Charlotte, which was 2 hours away from me. So I reached out to my lead. I was like, who can I talk to? Who's got answers on this? Who can I talk to about attending this event?
Right.
And sure enough, I got in contact with one of the guys that leads the event. And he's like, oh yeah, if you want to come, here's some free tickets. Just like, come on by. So I like, drove out there, and like, I didn't know what to expect because I'd never been to one of these events before. And man, it was like the coolest thing.
I love it.
It was like all these massive like movie theater size TVs, and there was like, you know, I was expecting a couple hundred people. Maybe there was probably like 1,000 people at this thing.
Dude, Halo fans come out. Like they are around for that stuff.
And these people come out in like the full, they got like the full Mjolnir armor on. Like they, like it looks like it's made, you know, it looks like it's ready for Hollywood. I'm like, where do these people get the money for these things, man? Like it looks like it's made out of metal. These people got these crazy suits on. And then like this the guy I'd worked with, he's like, "Oh yeah, no, come on back. I'll give you like a backstage tour." So like he took me behind and like showed me like all the behind the scenes of like how they do these like esports event, like introduced me to some of like the players or the, well, I don't know what the exact term for it is, but you know, he introduced me to a bunch of the people running the event, like, and it was just like it was super cool experience. Then I got to like, they have a whole area in the back that's just like a million Xboxes and computers where people are just playing the new season that I worked on. It was like, I think a week before the season actually released. So you could go there and kind of watch people play it and see what they really think about it. And yeah, it was just like a nothing quite like it. Because it was like at some point I was that guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I it's funny because you just reminded me, and I can't believe I didn't think about this before, but I also worked on a Halo project. Did you get to go to Halo Outpost Discovery?
No, and I'm so mad that I never got, because like I think at the time when it had first come out, I think it was like, I just did not have the money. I was struggling.
Dude, should have told me. Like I definitely could have got you in. But it was,
I think that was back when I was working like 12 hours a day, 8 days a week. Ask Camaro.
8 days a week.
it felt, ask Camaro. Camaro knows I was working 8 days a week.
Oh man, that sounds awful. Sounds like even more reason you should have gone. But
I know I should have, right? But I, at that point, but yeah.
You know, that was a wild ride. Like, working on Halo stuff is interesting. Like, there's a very much, the canon matters, right? Like the canon matters a lot.
Yes, exactly. Oh, see, there, Camaro just said it can't confirm. See, Camaro knows. Camaro knows I was working 8 days a week.
Man.
But yeah, no, like they're very like serious about like making it all make sense. It's got to fit in with like the established, what's been established and everything.
Oh yeah, definitely. And not to mention like making a theme park attraction, you know, where people actually get to sit down and experience something immersively. That's a big deal. You know, that's you gotta do that right.
Exactly. I think that would be something that's maybe not. Even better, like, now, because it's like there's so many newer people experiencing Halo for the first time now. It might be cool to, like, yeah, I mean, sure, like, the older fans are going to want to see it, too, but I'm like, maybe there's a lot of newer fans, because it's, like, one of the things that, one of the people that was working that event was telling me, like, this guy and his son came up, and were just, like, thanking him for the game, and saying like it's like the thing that him and his son do is they play Halo.
That's awesome.
And I was like, that's what we loved. That's what we need more of, you know. That's awesome.
Dude,
we love to see it.
Definitely more of that. I am with you on that for sure. I think that's something that we as an industry have moved a little too far away from, which is couch co-op. Like we need more of that, I think. Not enough games are supporting that these days.
Exactly, because I feel like nowadays, like, you know, you're just gonna your kid's gonna be playing on the TV, and maybe you're on the the other thing. Maybe you can play it on your computer. You're sitting in the back. You know what I mean? But I'm like, I don't think anything compares to like you got four screens on the TV and you got four controllers and you just got to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like that. Halo was one of the pioneers of like that, especially when it came to like they advanced with online gaming, you know what I mean? Like online gaming had come out, but they never backed down. You could still do four player co-op while playing online with other people. And I'm like, that's
insane.
To this day, that's insane to me. Like the fact that you could get four people. I don't even think you could do it. I don't remember if you can do it with the newest one or not, but like the fact that you get four people on the same screen and then hop into a match with, you know, 12 other people.
That's nuts.
Like there's
nuts.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it.
We need more of that.
That's one of my favorite series. You know what I mean? It's just like those memories, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, in order to do that, you have to go in with that being your objective, right? So everything you build is going to be around. We've got to make sure this runs in split screen. You know, they've got to make sure that your foundational stuff is that. So your memory limits and your frame rate and all that stuff is built around that worst case scenario for the hardware all the time. It has to be, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. It does. I feel like nowadays, I think things have just changed too much and we're being left in the dust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of maybe kids nowadays just like that's not something that's necessary for them. Like, I talk to my little cousin sometimes. I call him my little cousin, but he's like 16, maybe 17 now, right? But he's got like hundreds of friends like online. Like I saw his friends list literally like hundreds of people. And I was like, what the heck? And I asked him, I was like, do you ever hang out with these people in like real life? Do you ever like, he's like, nah, we just play games, right? And like, we'll be playing, if like I try to play a game with him, like split screen or something, he's getting a message every 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Every 5 minutes, my cousin's getting a message. Because it's just like, he's built like, the way thing, because you know, back in our day, well, I can kind of.
Mine's
say
even
that,
worse.
Right?
Mine's even worse. So whatever you're about to say, it's even worse for me.
Exactly, but like, you know, how it was back in the early 2000s, right? Like you had your five or six friends, maybe tops, right? Maybe you'd have like a list of like 15 that you could kind of pull from, but like. That was kind of it. You didn't have no 100 people you could ask. You'd have like the same three people you'd always get online with.
Yeah.
If you were to play a game online, it'd be like the same three people. So I feel like, and you would also hang out with those people in person. Maybe you'd go to their house and still play an online game split screen or something. You know what I mean? I think with the digital age and COVID and everything, like things have changed.
See, and it's funny too, because like, so my son's the same way. Like he can find someone to play something with anytime. Like he's got a huge amount of online friends that he's never met, probably never will, and they can game together, right? Yeah. So I'm in a weird spot where like the way my age was is I kind of went up through things. I never really got that split screen LAN experience with my friends, because that all happened after I, you know, like graduated high school and stuff. And so, and now I'm also at the age where I don't have the time to do that kind of thing. So there's a lot of that I just straight up missed out on, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, no, I feel that to a certain extent, because you know, like I've moved away from home, all my friends live on the other side of the other coast and everything. Like, but when we do hang out, like, you know, those couple times a year when me and my friends, we all get together, we'll try to do that. You know what I mean? We'll try to throw on some split screen. We'll try to make it through a Halo campaign, or, you know, I'll just throw four controllers on in Modern Warfare 2 and see who throws a controller at the wall first, you know?
Yeah.
I used to just do that all the time. Like it'd like be like a party or something. If there was a PS3, I'd just put in Modern Warfare and just throw in four controllers and just see who gets angry first.
There you go. That's the way to do it. You can do that with Rocket League now. There's a lot of things you can still do that with, which is nice, but it's just not the go-to format anymore. You know,
it's not, but I, you know, One of the things I will say about modern games that I love is crossplay.
Oh, absolutely.
That wasn't even like a we weren't even thinking that was possible back. Like, we weren't even, it wasn't even a thought.
Well, for most of my life, it was like, there's no way, like these companies do not want this, you know, like they want their own ecosystems. And you get why, you understand why, but I'm glad they finally found a way for it to be something that's feasible, you know?
You said, why do that when you can make them buy the game one, two, or five times?
There you go. That's true.
Like, crossplay, we'll just make you buy it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah, no.
We got like 10 minutes left.
Oh.
So.
We've been just going back and forth, man.
It's
That's
all good.
How we do it.
I mean, I think we've covered like the bulk of the stuff, right? Like, I don't feel like we're necessarily missing anything in particular, unless.
No, I think we've caught up.
I was gonna say, is there anything that you wanted to make sure you touched on tonight that you haven't had an opportunity to yet?
Go play Halo Infinite Season 3. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, that's totally cool, man. That's totally
this
cool.
This camera.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything else. I feel like we've gone through the whole journey, man. We've gone through like living in Alaska to fighting off that alligator in the swamp to like.
Man, you've definitely had some interesting stories. That is for sure.
Nah, I didn't even tell you about that one time me and my dad almost got killed by this grizzly bear. But that's another.
What? Oh man.
And that was when I was in high school too, and I was like, "That's."
How long does the story take? You get that in 10 minutes? Because I might want to hear this one.
Okay, I can get it in. I can probably do it in. It's. I feel like it's not nearly as long as like the gator story because there was so much setup. Basically, like I think I mentioned before, I kind of grew up hunting with my dad. In fact, shout out to my dad because he's in the chat right now. But yeah, I grew up hunting and stuff, and you know we hunted a lot of stuff. You know, moose, caribou, deer. But this was like the big hunt. This is the one he'd like been preparing me for like my whole life, essentially, was Kodiak. For people that don't know anything about Kodiak, Kodiak is where the largest grizzly bears on the planet live. They live in this like one particular island off the coast of Alaska. So this one, I was in high school, you know, I'm like, I took like a week off class and we did it. We flew out to Kodiak. Hey, Camaro. We flew out to Kodiak and we went. You take this little airline out there because once you get there, it's like, you know, a kind of big town. And then you got to take a little bush plane and you take this bush plane to another island because it's like a series of islands once you get out there. And they just drop you off and say, we'll be back in 5 days. Good luck.
Wow.
Like, it feels like the intro to a game or something. Ooh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, to a game you probably don't like. It's gonna be
the
a
plane
scary
doesn't
situation.
Even take you all the way to the plane takes you like you're still like you still got to trudge through the water like you got to hold your stuff up like this and kind of trudge through the water to get to the beach because the plane's not even gonna take you all the way in. So yeah, we trudge to the beach with all you gotta bring everything you're gonna have for the next 5 days with you, right? Basically, at a certain point in the trip, we realized that my gun was shooting all the way off. It had got messed up during the flight, and the scope got... I don't know exactly what, but the scope got misbalanced or something. Okay. Anyways, it was shooting off. We realized this because there was a deer. It had to be, like, maybe 10 yards in front of us. It was like a, you know, there's no way you could have missed that shot.
Right.
But I missed it somehow, which is because I usually don't, but I had missed it and I was like, this is impossible. And then we realized it was shooting off. So we tried to correct it the best we could, but in doing so, we had wasted almost all my ammo.
Oh, yeah.
Because we didn't quite bring enough. So we ended up wasting a bunch of my ammo trying to correct this. And then at some point, my dad had used up a bunch of his ammo. We were trying to get this deer. It kept moving. Or I can't remember what exactly it was, but a lot of his ammo ended up getting spent, too. And then at some point, we saw this grizzly bear. And Kodiak has this thing. They have, like, there's too many grizzly bears, so they have predator control there. So, like, you can hunt grizzly bear without a permit, essentially, because there's too many of them. And if they get out of hand, they're going to eat all the deer. There's going to be nothing left. So he sees it up on this hill, and he said he's gonna take it. And I was like, "Yep, yeah, no, go ahead, man. All you. I wasn't really about. I was trying to get the deer. I didn't really feel like getting a bear because I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with all that. So I let him go for it. I was like, "Yeah, if you think you can get it, get it." And he hits it, or he thinks he hits it, right? Or maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. We see it, and we're like, "Okay, we just gotta climb up this mountain here and see if we can go get it." So we kind of figure out where it is. And then this is like Kodiak. It's like dense, super dense forest. So we gotta trudge through this forest up this big like mountain to kind of figure out where the heck this bear had gone. And we get up there, we find the exact spot. We saw some like landmarks around it, something that we kind of figure out where we were. We were there, and we're looking around. We're like, well, we're here. There's no bear. This is where it was. And we're both looking around confused. So we start looking around, and we hear like a little bit of bushes. We hear some bushes kind of like moving around, but we still can't tell what direction it's coming from. We're like, what the heck? And then we see this bear. At this point, it's maybe like 30 yards away, but my dad had used all of his ammo trying to get it from the bottom of the hill. So all we had was my gun, and we weren't even 100% sure if mine was shooting right. So like he's like, all right, you got to get it. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. And so like I'm trying to get like lined up for this thing, but I'm like, I'm scared because I'm afraid like it's not going to shoot right.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like I'm trying to like line it up, and it's shaking like, you know, like one of those games. So I'm doing this, it's raining, and then the bear stops what it's doing and it starts sniffing in the air, right? Oh
yeah.
It starts sniffing in the air and starts looking around, and then it sees us. And it does one of its growls, you know, it does like the, you know what I mean? Like those bears, I can't do a good one, but you know how the bears get. It does like that growl and it sees us. And at this point, my dad's like, yo, he's like, boy, shoot the, he's like yelling at me to like take the shot, right? Because, you know, his gun's out of ammo, he can't do nothing. And then this bear just, it just takes off for us.
What?
Yeah, no, it takes off for us. And then at, like, before I had finally, like, lined it up and pulled the trigger, this bear was 10 feet away before I had fired the first shot. Because, you mean, like, bears can cover that sprint real quick.
Yeah, they
can. They're fast. So, like, it was 30 yards, and now it's 10 feet away immediately, right? So I take it, and the bear had stopped, and then, like, it was, like, a Wild West thing. I was just, like, go. It was a bolt action, right? So I can't keep going. I gotta do the thing every single time. But it was a Wild West. I kept going.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was, like, all four, and it, like, it stopped 10 feet in front of us before, like, stopping and turning around. The point is, eventually...
Turning around?
It stopped, like, 10 feet in front of us after I fired the first shot.
Okay.
And then it had, like... begun to turn around.
Oh, it was trying to escape at that point,
but like the adrenaline was rushing.
I kept shooting, you're sitting here shooting and it's like, there's nothing to me, and it's like turning around to walk away.
No, because like the first shot it did shrug off, but it felt it obviously, right?
Yeah.
But it was still angry because like the first shot it was like, you know what I mean? And it like I just like unloaded what left of the ammo I had. Eventually, we got the bear, but at that point, it was charging us. It was us or the bear. This is a big bear, too. This is like a...
Oh, bears are like enormous, 10... especially a grizzly bear.
These things are almost the size of a polar bear, so it's like a... I'm talking about like a 10-foot bear. Yeah. This thing weighs like... I don't even know how much they weigh, right? But, you know, like, their skin's so thick that, like, most of the time, the bullets won't even go through, you know what I mean? They got armor on. But anyways, that's what happened. It was 10 feet away. We're like an inch of our lives.
Dude, it says a Kodiak bear, largest bears in the world, stand over 10 feet tall.
Yes.
And weigh up to 1,500 pounds.
Yes.
That is ridiculous. That's a big bear.
I think it might not be on my... There was a picture of me and that bear, I think, on my... Facebook maybe at some point in the timeline. No. But like it was us or the bear, so I had to make a decision,
man.
And like that was like it was funny, I didn't go hunting again after that for a super long time. I was like, because you know, this right before, you know, whatever, like finals and stuff for high school, so I had to go back to high school after all that and like continue class like nothing had happened.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, how was your vacation? I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. You know?
Oh, man. Well, that's a honestly a pretty great way to end the stream. That's
every time I come on, I gotta tell a wild story. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Well, man, dude, this has been an absolute blast. Like, I always enjoy having
trilogy.
You on talking. That's right.
The
yeah.
trilogy has been on. Yeah, the trilogy, man. It's been
not
awesome,
many people
man.
Get a trilogy. I'm just there's just a few of you that have been on here three times, so I appreciate it.
It you know, it's funny when we did that. What was it? The alumni thing that me and you went to the other week.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it last week?
Yeah,
a lot of people. I was in that, and people were like, "Oh, you know, I saw you on Jameson's thing." A lot of people were like, "Yeah, we watched you." I was like,
"Oh,
what?
Nice. That's great."
They're like, "How many times have you been on the?" So they're like, "Every time we tune in, you're on it." I was like, I don't know, man.
Third time's a charm. You know, it's just how
exactly.
It goes. It's all good.
But I do want to tell. I'll tell you while we're in here, just in case anybody else is going to be there. Hall of Fame. I'm coming down.
Are you nice?
I'm coming down to go support our girl Karis.
Nice.
Because you know she's in it this time.
That's right. Yeah, no,
so
it's good
I'm
times.
I'm coming down. Hall of Fame. I'll be there. So
let me know what days you're going to be here. So be
if
good.
There's time, we'll hang out.
Oh,
we'll
of course. We'll make that happen for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, man. That's great. That's exciting. That's really good news. So that'll be fun.
Oh yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, man. No, seriously though, this always fun. And I'm sure we'll find another reason to do it again, especially after you launch something else or whatever. So.
Yeah, I'm like, we could do a QA dedicated one. I
That's
don't
right.
even, we could do something really, we could throw three people, we'll throw Lionel in here.
that is something that I want to do a little bit more of, is have one, multiple guests, and two, more of a, like a themed focus thing where we talk about a specific discipline or those kind of things. So I think it'd be good.
Hey, if you need to, me and Lionel are experts. We did like the first, like, back when Full Sail did like the very first, I think QA chat, that was the QA focused, whatever you want to call it. That was me and Lionel in the same room trying to make it happen.
Gotcha. Nice. All right, man. I'm going to jump off here and say my goodbyes. I appreciate you doing this. It's amazing time
hey,
as usual.
I appreciate you having me on, man. This is like always, this is a blast. I love coming on these things and just chatting about the industry and whatnot.
Good, man. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you had a good time, because I do too. I'm going to jump off here, say my goodbyes, and we'll talk soon, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Have a good one.
Later. Hey, thanks for watching. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications below so you'll know when new episodes are ready. If you're interested in the audio version of the podcast, I've got links for that in the show notes for you. And if you want to join us live and get your own questions answered, we're at twitch.tv/JamesonDorral every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Have a good week, and we'll see you soon.
Somebody I graduated with was working in Peoria for a company that contracted with Caterpillar, making their heavy equipment simulators. And they needed 3D modelers, and I was, you know, as desperate can be, and that was my first sort of like even remotely related to my degree career that I had, job that I had.
I love that, because we talk a lot about how there's a lot of industries that are kind of like just adjacent, right, to the kind of things that we're doing, where the skill set is exactly the same, right? And while you might not have the same exact usage of that, it's what, you know, have the same considerations, what you're doing day to day is very much the same.
Yeah, absolutely. It was cool. I got to do, you know, I got to get, you know, a year, 2 years of experience doing, you know, 3D modeling.